Good morning, afternoon, or evening, whichever it is at this particular time. How are you doing? Besides the answer, fine. No, really. Think to yourself. Take a few seconds, even, and ask how you are doing. Are you stressed? Did something great happen and you're feeling exhilarated? How are you feeling? And what is it that happened that you feel is causing you to feel that way? Is there anything you could do or have done that could change that? Because speaking about mindfulness, there are some really great tools that we can use to help us get in the space we need to be. And we talk about this a lot, you know, keeping positive. We've all seen all the Dave Ramsey and all of the different motivational speakers, Jack Canfield, you know, all of those guys. And they all, and one of my favorites actually is Napoleon Hill. And I believe that his original messages, well, tons of messages, are kind of what established the secret or the message behind the secret. But nonetheless, all the stuff is out there. It's just a matter of figuring out where it is. But what about this stuff, or what about things that we don't know? Things that we could be using right now, that we have right this second, regardless of the time of day it is, morning, noon, or night, regardless of where you're at, the kitchen table, the office, your bed, you have the tools. Welcome to Waking Lions. This is MJ. I'm your host. And I want to talk about, you know, everybody talks about that small percentage that we have control over, and the events that happen in our lives are a huge percentage that we don't have control over. And that's true. But that small percentage that we do have control over is some control. It's a little control, right? And I've heard numbers varying from, you know, 4%, which I think is ridiculous, up to like 15%. And I think that's a bit too much. I think we're, I don't know, somewhere in the middle there. Regardless, any fraction or percentage of control we have that we are able to have a means to, you know, say which direction, even our mood, that can establish many things that happen throughout that day. It can establish the way people perceive you, the way they speak to you, or if they speak to you at all, right? Which could, in fact, change opportunities that you may or may not have. So your mood is a big deal. And to have your mood be a big deal and work for you, there are a whole bunch of little things that you can do to feel happy. And I can name a few right now, and you could probably think up more that I wouldn't even think of. Getting enough sleep, that's a big one. And people think, oh, I don't have time to sleep. I'm kind of one of those sometimes. I don't have time to sleep. I've got too much to do. I've got too much work to do. I have to get work done. I have to get things for my kids done. I have to take care of my spouse. You know, I have to clean house. I have to. But the reality is, some of these things do not have to be done. some of these things can be done by someone else. They've just laid back because you're willing to do it. But here's the caveat to that, and that is the more you do and the less sleep you get, the less productive you're going to be in any of it, especially as the day goes on. Because your mind wears down, your perception wears down, you're not able to even perceive things in the same way as you are first thing in the morning when you first wake up, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So all of that changes. Your physicality changes. And one thing that I've noticed is that can be changed as well with all the different things, with the food that you take in. And I think this isn't news to anyone, but the more sugar you have, and the salt too, if you have a high salt content that retains water in your body, sugar, we all know what that does to your body, right? And those two things being out of proportion, because you do need those to an extent, but those two things being out of proportion wear on your body as well. And unfortunately, people that don't have a lot of money and feel like they don't have choices in what they eat because they can't afford the quote-unquote good food, right? Because they don't have enough money for really good food, because everyone knows fruits and vegetables only last a couple few days, right? So they can't invest in that, and they're more expensive than canned fruit. Because like buying, you know, a bag of apples per se, compared to canned apples, that might not be the best example, but buying canned fruit fruit in jars is a little more expensive than cans. But at any rate, buying the fresh fruit usually costs more and doesn't last as long. So people don't do it. They go through and buy all the canned stuff off of the shelves because it's more affordable, or the frozen stuff. And that's not the frozen or the canned and frozen stuff, especially the canned stuff, isn't nearly as good for you as the frozen stuff, if you must, and the fresh stuff for real. So those are two things. The third one, and I hate to sound like your doctor or that know-it-all person that walks around your office or struts around your office looking hotter than shit, but exercise. And the thing is that sleep, you know, exercise, and eating right, you can't just do one of those things and your whole world opens up and changes for you. You can't. It's impossible. You can diet till you're dead. But if you're not getting any exercise and you're not getting enough sleep, you're still going to be out of shape and fat. So you have to balance those three things out and make sure you're getting nutrients, not just food, but nutrients. Now, here's a weird thing that I figured out, and I'm sad to say I figured it out now, but at least I figured it out. Something that I figured out and didn't even know that it was going on, and I challenge you to do this, actually. When you have a moment to get in front of at least a half mirror, you know, if you're conscientious about your body, or even if you're not, seriously, just do this. Stand in front of your mirror and take a good long look at yourself. You know, don't change anything. Don't change your hair. Don't change your outfit. Don't change anything about you. Just look at yourself normal like you do every day. if you look. Unlike me, I usually don't. And then turn to the side and look at you. And take it in, like make a little photograph in your head of what you look like in the mirror. Okay, now close your eyes for a second. Turn back and face the mirror. Close your eyes. Roll your shoulders down and forward, up and back, and hold them a little, not like way back with your elbows back and everything. Your elbows still need to stay down, but your shoulders back. And hold that position. Your back is going to feel like it's a little bit flexed. But if your elbows are to your sides and your shoulders are back, that's probably where they need to be. Okay? Your head is more erect naturally. And then push your butt out, not a whole bunch. You know, you don't want to look like Jennifer Lopez if you don't have her bottom. And you can't look like Jennifer Lopez if you don't have her bottom. So don't even try. I didn't. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. But push it out a little tiny bit. A little tiny bit. And hold your head up high. And look at yourself in the mirror. And see the difference that makes. And even turn to the side and look. Because chances are very good that you're going to look a little taller and a little more put together. And if you pull your tummy in with that derriere out, your shoulders back, look at that difference. Now, here's the important part to this. It's not just how you look. I mean, that could be important. It's your health. Now, here's my theory. You know, lower income people usually die younger than older people. Not always, but usually. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you why. So hang tight. Welcome back. So, what was I talking about? Oh, yes. Your posture actually elongates your health, right? It does. And your life. And Healthline, actually, I looked it up, and it provides 12 exercises that help you reap the health benefits of good posture. And I'm just going to click down really fast, because it talks about good posture, and everyone always talks about the way you stand, right? Like I kind of just did a few minutes ago. But the vast majority of people, I believe, have sit-down jobs. Like you're sitting in your chair all the time. And with your arms forward, your body tends to curve a little bit. Your back tends to curve. So when you're sitting, you should rest your feet flat on the floor with your hips evenly adjusted. Your back should be mostly straight, even though you're going to have some natural curve from sitting in your spine. Your shoulders should be back and relaxed, and your ears should be over your collarbone. And you know, when you're typing, you should have your wrists up from the keyboard. So those are some things to keep track of. And what this will do is help reduce back pain. And there are some exercises you can do that strengthen your lower back too. They're called bridges, where you lay flat on your back, bend your knees and put your feet on the floor, hands to your sides, and just pump your butt up and down. And that helps your back, not have as much stress. Okay. Do it frequently. So do it for about 20 times when you do it. You also, with good posture, can have fewer headaches. So if you're one of those people that you find you get regular headaches and you've already got the screen adjuster that blocks out the blue light and all of that, you know, you'll see people with those on their screens or special lights over their screens. If you're trying all those things and it's not helping, it could be tension in your neck, the back of your neck, from poor posture, and that's a tension headache. And when you correct your posture, you reduce the muscle tension and it improves the stress on the back of your neck. Now, with this exercise, you just lie flat on your back. You can bend your knees if you'd like. And you just dip your chin down into your chest. Dip it as far as you can. Now, something that I do is I'll push my chin all the way to my chest. And then I push my chin out so that my bottom teeth are overlapping my front teeth. And I look up as high as I can and hold it there for a couple of seconds. And pull my shoulders back. And you can feel it stretch. In fact, I can hear mine click when I do that. And then dip it forward again and press down as hard as you can. And then back again. You can also do it to the sides. Some people roll their heads around. I don't do that because I don't want to take a chance on catch. You know, when you get older, you have little muscles catch and things like that. So I just pull my head back to the middle and tip from side to side to stretch out my lower or my side muscles. You can increase your energy levels by twisting your torso side to side. That's sitting on your bum with your feet up, knees bent, and hands in front of you with your elbows out, and touch each elbow to the floor on each side of you. And then the thing I was talking about before, looking in the mirror and performing a neck stretch. So anyway, there's a bunch of things on there. And again, there's ways to increase your lung capacity, which is awesome. And you'll want to look into that. And that article, again, is through Healthline, healthline.com. And the article is called, "These 12 Exercises Will Help You Reap the Health Benefits of Good Posture." And there's quite a few more on there that really do help. So posture gives someone confidence. And the funny thing about that is, even if you're not confident, you look more confident. And that actually makes people react differently to you. You know, when you're walking and you have a straight vision from your eyes going out across the room, you naturally seem more confident, even without speaking, than if you're staring at the floor in front of you. Okay? So when you look confident, people think you're confident. And when they think you're confident, they're going to treat you like you're confident. And when people treat you like you're confident, then you become confident. So it's this weird circle that goes around. And lifehack.org has an article called "Why Confident People Are Also Happier People." So think about that for a minute. Happier people are confident, right? And confident people are happier. Confident people, we all know, or think we know, we assume that they're more likely to be successful. They're more likely to have respect from others and appreciation. And with that, their well-being, their health is feeling better. They're able to get and attract good friends, have wonderful relationships. as opposed to those who, you know, people that are self-conscious all the time are probably not going to attract a confident person, because that confident person is going to be out socializing with confident people, and they're not going to want someone as much that's always staring at the floor. So keep that in mind. And I'm not going to keep reading on about it, but it does say that self-esteem predicts happiness. So keep that in mind. And then I wanted to touch on one other thing. This is interesting, because remember I was talking about how your posture affects your mortality rate, and how stupid that sounds, because it really does sound stupid. But the things I just told you about your well-being with your good posture, and it makes you look confident, and your confidence is linked to overall happiness, and happier people have all around better health, and that health is physically, which I think that stands to reason. You're not going to have the same lower back pain, which as you get older, that will become a big deal. A big deal. Don't go to the chiropractors and spend a bunch of money. Not right away, at least. If you need to, go get a back brace. That's actually how I found out that my back problems that I've been having for over 15 years. I've been going to therapists. I've been going to chiropractors. I've been shelling out money left and right, trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And not one doctor has mentioned my posture. And I've had excellent posture up until a car accident, and I did not even realize how lacking my posture was. But I put this back brace on for my lower back, and it was pushing my stomach in, or pulling my stomach in rather, pushing my butt out a little bit, and I looked at myself in the mirror sideways, and something just wasn't right. I couldn't figure out what it was, and then I realized my shoulders weren't back. So I pulled my shoulders, rolled my shoulders around, you know, down and up around, and looked at myself, and that's when it hit me that I looked taller, I looked more calm, I looked younger. That was the aha thing for me. I mean, it was crazy. I probably looked 5 to 8 years younger. I mean, it was, and I have gray hair. So mentally, and not just because you feel better, I mean, that's important too. But think about it. Your body is straight, your back is straight, you're going to be able to breathe easier. Your circuitry, your blood flow is going to be enhanced and easier to flow. It's not going to have those kinks and crooks to work through, right? And that's going to help your simple things like perspiration. All those things work together in unison. And emotionally, and that goes without saying, you're going to be happier. And it's not going to happen overnight. But I will tell you this. I can tell you from my experience, things started to change, not drastically at first, but within a week, I started seeing changes in people. I started coming across people in the stores, like passing them, and before no one would speak to me even. My face was different. I didn't smile at anybody. It was weird because I didn't consciously start smiling at people. But then people started getting eye contact with me and actually saying, excuse me, and, oh, here, let me get out of your way. It was weird. And I don't know if it was because of my posture, like outwardly projecting, or me being happier, and it showed on my face. Because when you're happier, it doesn't mean you're walking around smiling all the time. It shows in your eyebrows and in your eyes. And I'm not just talking about your eyeballs and how they're dilated. I'm talking about your eyebrows. When you don't have a headache, when your posture's better, when your blood flow is working and your breathing is better, your eyebrows are not pressed down, furrowing as much. They kind of raise up on your face, and that helps you look younger too. But they move up on your face, which obviously is going to make you look happier than if they're furrowed down, right? You see what I'm saying? And it also helps decrease the crinkles in your eyes, or wrinkles, whatever you want to call them. And financially, your posture impacts your finances. Isn't that stupid? It does. Finances. And anyone that's given, that they truly understand the value of money, would know this. And even the NCBI, with the government. So the website ncbi.nlm.nih.gov. I went to this page and it's really interesting. Well, if you're a numbers person, it's interesting, but I'll just highlight the part if you're not a numbers person. It says that there's a clear gradient, that there are 108.5 more deaths per 100,000 people in a year in counties with the highest income inequality than those in the lowest quartile. Okay, so the highest per capita income, the highest per capita income is associated with lower mortality rates. So people with more money don't die as often. Well, you only die once, but you know what I mean. And the difference, this is so small, it's scary. A $1,000 increase in per capita income corresponds to a decline of 9 deaths per 100,000 people. $1,000. I could go on and on about how to save money. I'm not going to do that this time. Maybe later. But it's just really, really interesting. And the mortality rate, there's a difference in mortality rate. Because the combined effects of high income and lower income per capita is 988.5 per 100,000. That's almost 1,000 per 100,000. Over 22% higher than in counties where per capita income is high. And then it gives a number for when the inequality is low. So there's a difference of 181 excess deaths per 100,000 people. So that's just really bizarre and really doable. I mean, it's within your power. So your posture is something that you have with you always. Like I said at the beginning, you always have it. Regardless of where you are right now, regardless of what time of day it is, and even what your body is conditioned to. So if you're lying on your back or sitting on something or lying on something, so whatever you're lying on or sitting on impacts you. And all of them reflect on your life. So if you are on an old mattress that doesn't help your body relax all the way, you already know a good night's sleep makes a difference. If your mattress is bad, that's going to affect your longevity in life. Same with your chair. If you don't have something that supports your back, correctly, that's not healthy for you. And if you're in an office, you need to bring that to HR's attention, because they are subject by law to acquire sitting implementation that works for you and your health. And one more thing I want to point out really quick, and that is that you have to have time to do what you want to do. What you want to do. And I know for a lot of people, especially, you know, single parents or people that have a lot of people dependent on them, even at work all the time, you don't even know what you want to do because it's been so long. But find something you want to do. As well as, that means including a type of meditation. And that doesn't mean you have to sit with your legs crossed and your, you know, hands to your side and or to your knees and all of that type of thing. But meditation is healthy and helpful. You could also go to a counselor or a trusted life coach, a mindfulness coach, or even a hypnotist. Make sure they know what they're doing and that they're certified. I would not, in this particular instance, I mean, you may have a good friend that you share things with, but as far as being able to share absolutely anything, you'll want to speak with a person that's not directly involved in your life. Just because you're going to be more comfortable, they are not going to tell anybody else that you know. They're not in the same circles as you. And hypnotism can work in a variety of ways. They can help you relax. They can help you find things in your past that may be affecting your posture as well. But all of these things today should inevitably, if you listened to them correctly and took heed to the information I gave you, within a week, you will be feeling better. And if you've not been smiling, you should be. So that's it for Waking Lions now. I look forward to talking to you again soon. You have a wonderful, spectacular rest of your day. This is MJ signing off. Until next time. Bye-bye. Although from the time that we're children, we're asked over and over again, what are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be when you grow up? Well, today in Waking Lions, we're actually going to talk about the effects of our mental stimuli and what it does for, what it does to, and what it does about us. Is it really supporting us in what our future endeavors are? And Waking Lions' purpose in that is to help you establish for yourself your purpose in life and what's going to make you the best you that you can be. So, let's begin. When children are small, parents may actually and sincerely be curious as to what their children are interested in becoming. I was one of those parents. I would ask my children, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wasn't trying to persuade them into any particular direction. I curiously and sincerely wanted to know. My son wanted to be like the next Neil deGrasse Tyson when he was very young. And my daughter wanted to be a veterinarian. And so the toys that I got them or the books that I bought them or the activities that I encouraged them to participate in were all along those lines. In fact, encouraging them to move into that direction. Granted, these weren't particularly jobs that I would question them to move into. In fact, I wasn't urging them to move into any direction at all. I wanted them to be happy. But what happened was by me pushing them into these directions and basically forcing them into a corner, it inadvertently pushed them back out. They were feeling pressured into becoming something that they wanted to become involved with, but didn't. Just because their freedom of choice was taken away when I started pressuring them. I was trying to assist them, was what was in my mind, but that isn't what was happening. And I encouraged them. I really was trying to encourage them, but it ended up not encouraging them. I ended up actually pushing them away. I told my son over and over and over about how he has Asperger's, but it's the good kind of Asperger's. He's like way beyond what a quote-unquote normal kid should be. He was very curious about things and looked at things in a very unusual way as he was growing up. And when I mentioned Asperger's to his father innately was like, no, there's nothing wrong with my son, as if there's something wrong with people that I feel like it's a gift. Everyone's got an opinion. But because his father was so against the thought of this Asperger's, Cameron, my son, ended up going into a completely different direction and gave up the whole space study. He had then planned on joining the military, and that came to an abrupt halt later. And now he's just kind of, I don't know, in my mind, not to say that it's correct, I kind of feel like he's floating in space, waiting for something to come within arm's reach for him. And I'm not sure, maybe that's a growing thing he's going through right now. I am worried about him because it's vastly different from what the Cameron I've always known growing up to be was. And now it kind of seems aimless. But again, hopefully that's a phase. My daughter, on the other hand, had gone from being extremely creative with her veterinarian things and even into, of course, the art that a lot of kids get into with video games and becoming the boss, quotations in the air, of her realm. But now she has moved back over into the military sector, which again is the opposite. So kind of like my kids have changed places in life. Not that they're ever directed toward the other. But my daughter has actually become more regimented in her thinking toward her future. So regardless of where we're at as parents in trying to do the right thing in helping our children find that sweet spot that they feel like they should be in and encouraging them in the right direction, that doesn't always work out the way we plan. So I guess the big question is, should we encourage our kids at all? Or should we just hold back and watch? Should we be those type of parents that tells our kid, all right, when you're 4 years old, you're going to learn how to ice skate. And then when you're 6 years old, you're going to get on the hockey team. And then when you're 8 years, you know, on up like that, and you're going to practice, you know, 7 hours a week or more. There's those kinds of parents that have their children fulfill their own dreams instead of what the children want to do or the adult they want to become. And I think that's an opinion that variable people, or variety of people, I should say, have in conflict of what's the best form of child rearing. Of course, you have those parents that really don't care. And as long as their kids move out of the house, they're happy. But I'm not going to talk about them because I really don't feel like those are parents. Anyway, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about a few articles that I found that may or may not help you in finding out the best way to help your child and help to wake their lions, as well as waking your own. And you might find this useful for them. You may find it useful for you. And if nothing else, it will give you some food for thought. So hang with me.